Welcome to the middle of January / Christmas gift swap.
Okay, first of all, welcome back to Trusty Hogs. Hey, Hogs. Thank you for being here.
Oh, that was a phlegmy one.
Did you
feel that?
Thank you.
It rumbled the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Episode 16. Delighted to have Helen back. We are doing a January Christmas gift swap because the first initial time we were supposed to do it, Helen had COVID.
Poor Helen.
Poor so glad Helen. She's back, though. We actually missed you.
I missed you guys too. I mean, we were on the phone, so it was fine.
But still. And then the next time, Helen forgot her gifts. So now...
Because of COVID brain fog.
Oh, please.
Oh, poor Helen. Poor Helen.
Through the fog, step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not. So, Helen Bauer, do you want your Christmas
I
presents?
Just want to give them to you.
I want to receive. Okay, here you go. You said that those were such contradictory things. I want to give them to you. I want mine.
I want to receive. So if anyone doesn't remember, Andrew gave me my Christmas gift at the beginning of December because it was an amazing Tony's Chocolonely advent calendar.
Which you complained about.
I complained once because they were doing this thing about like life's unfair, slavery, blah, blah, blah. So they gave me no chocolates in one. And I had an absolute freak out online, but turns out the next day they gave you two.
I've already shaken out one from the one and blew it.
So then I was just like, because I was like, this is bullshit. It's a manufacturing problem. Despite the fact, happy holidays, Helen. Love, see. Kiss. Oh my God, this is Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, in January.
Oh my God. Are they slippies? I love slippies.
But can I just tell you that you recently Instagrammed about much better slippies? I was so sad.
Are you kidding? My other slippers I have are dogs, like massive dogs with glittery collars on them.
I was so sad.
These are more like classy Kimye sliders. Stop.
They're the largest size they come in, so I hope they fit your big feet.
I'm always nervous when someone buys me shoes because they're the biggest size, and I'm like, you do not understand the size of my feet. There is no way I'm getting into this.
Oh, really?
There is no way.
Oh, no. I'm so sad.
I'm going to try.
I'm so sad. They're on the wrong way. You need to switch them over.
Okay.
Oh, Helen, I retook a punt and I just realized that was so stupid.
It's like a Cinderella moment.
Okay,
that's
amazing. I'm an Oliver bonus, medium/large. That is so mad.
That was stunning, you guys. There was a collective intake of breath here while it fit like the glass slipper. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Hold them up to the camera. You're stunning. You're everything. You're Miss United States. What?
Stop it.
They fit you. I'm so happy.
That is insane.
I've been so anxious about them fitting. Am I your Prince Charming?
Oh my God, they're so comfy.
Yay!
Catherine, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love them.
You're welcome. I bet all on one gift. So I was like, oh God, if they don't fit. I realized when you put on the dog ones, I was like, they look massive. But because they have like a head on top of it and a tail, I was like, oh my God. One, she already has slippies, and two, mine aren't going to be big enough.
Catherine, stop it. I cannot believe they fit. I've got a cute little bow and slippies.
You're so cute. It's amazing.
Slippies.
So
and
cute.
Andrew's just got up to like move a camera angle.
And
but I also feel like he's doing it subtly, but was coming towards his
gifts. Yeah.
So I'm just going to quickly tie a little ribbon on Helen. That's actually gorgeous.
That actually really suits you. The bow. Helen is now putting her Christmas gift bow into her hair and it looks adorable. Oh my God, you look like Sandy. I love.
You're the one that I want.
Doesn't she look so cute?
Who wants to go first? Andrew or Catherine?
Andrew can go first. He's obviously gagging for it.
I love that I didn't actually pick them up whilst I was stood up.
Yeah, you didn't.
No, I want to deliver them to you. Or do you want to come on camera for this?
Please deliver them. I've got a camera here. Hi.
You have two that are the same.
Yeah.
So okay, we'll open them at the same
that
time.
That one is the same as this one.
Okay.
Also, do you know what's weird, Helen? Is I also wore the bow that Catherine gave me.
His was a head floral piece from I go extra on the wrapping.
Stop.
Your wrapping's lovely.
Your little packages, yeah.
Okay.
These are now unfortunately too late.
Oh no, what? Oh my God, amazing!
next year.
It's so a well pig wrapped. That's flying.
It's a flying pig Christmas decoration.
Honestly, Helen, this makes up this makes up for the fridge magnet.
Really?
Yeah, it's that
that's
good.
Really cute.
It's you know so what? Good.
It was the classier pig like thing I could find, pig decoration.
I love
was like, this is dignity, it's porcelain.
But also, Gisella Graham, I had her decorations before. These are nice.
Yeah.
Really
cool. Oh, look at Andrew look with his little piggy.
I actually love
and it's not too tacky for the pair of you.
Oh no, it's just on the edge. It's what? Perfect. I love it. I love
it. Oh, it's good. I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh, you got us more. I feel bad. I just got you slippers. You got me three gifts.
Well, yeah, we're the same like amount. Probably
no,
all together.
I don't think so.
Oh my god, I love
Helen's a really good gift giver. Like a really, really good
Catherine,
gift.
This one I took a risk on.
Rachel's okay. Oh, you did really good.
No, I did not.
You did. Helen.
The green because of Ireland. They're little tiny gold hoops.
They're stunning. Look at them. They look like two little engagement rings. They're so
with
pretty.
With little green highlights.
Can you help me get them? Helen, you bought me some
yeah,
nice
Yeah, do you
gifts.
Like them?
I really, really like them.
I
Nobody
cannot
bought me jewellery.
Believe it.
Nobody bought me jewellery this Christmas. I love. Oh my God. They go with all my other piercings.
Do you love them?
I love them.
Oh
Thank
my God.
So
I'm showing
much.
Them to the camera. Oh, you
God,
can't see them.
Me. You need another gift now that you've
oh,
got
you
me.
Oh, you can't see them. I cannot be a YouTuber.
I'm going to bring it here and I can show them on this camera.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, I'm not going to put them on right now because apparently I can't do that without
Also, whilst I'm, I can open my gift whilst I'm here.
Yes.
Helen,
I love them. Like, I actually love them.
Really nice.
They're very understated.
I love them.
Like, Catherine,
thank
just
you.
A little thing.
I love them. Thank
For
you.
One of her TV appearances.
I'm actually going to wear them.
I can't
oh
believe
my
you like
goodness.
Them. I'm so relieved.
I love them.
Earrings.
I love them.
Just
thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
What is it?
It's.
Yes!
It is.
It's a hat!
Well, like lucky ghoster number three, it's over. You're never going to get back a flat cap. So I have gifted Andrew a new flat cap.
That's amazing.
For context, for people that don't know, a boy I briefly dated for three dates stole my flat cap as part of his Halloween
costume.
That
looks good on you.
Thank you.
That really suits you, Andrew.
That's hot, babe.
Thank you.
Andrew, that's like...
You were very sceptical originally of me owning a flat
cap. I'm surprised. And... Turns out you're a zaddy.
Yeah. Actually, I don't mind that.
This is...
It is
what you wanted it to be!
Oh my God, I guessed based on the shape of the bottle and Helen was like, oh, poor Catherine, I... These are... Okay, hang on. First of all, you're so good at gift giving and I just need to like shower you with free coffees until I make up for my... also, I'm sorry, what... So, okay, because I'm not fancy enough for to ever have owned these, you light them on the bottom.
Yeah.
I always wondered. Okay, sorry, they're a jar.
What are they?
They're a jar of fancy matchsticks.
Because Catherine likes candles.
I do. But I always wondered how the fancy ladies lit the jar matches. And the answer is there's a little thing at
the
bottom.
And I can tell you this as a friend of Catherine's, and I will not be upset.
God,
she is going to soak that label off. But
No, I know. No, because now I know I need it. I won't.
No, but this label.
Oh, ultimately, yes. I will repurpose this. Of course I will. What about when I'll make something delicious and give it to
Yay!
You.
Yay!
I love this. You're so good.
Oh, you're so
Thank
welcome.
You so
Andrew, your last gift.
It is a poetry book. Is it the poems of the man I referenced once?
Yes.
What?
The Desiderata poems.
No.
But it's the other poems by Max Ehrmann.
So what happened was, I was trying to offer some words of wisdom and like happiness and health and wealth and well-being. And
We're
Catherine,
poetry.
Catherine was shitting all over my poems.
It was bullshit, Andrew.
Was
I felt so bad
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, the poem was bullshit.
No, it wasn't. It was gorgeous.
It was a lovely poem. Very well read by Helen.
Thank you.
And she's got me a book of his poetry.
Oh, you're really good at that.
Really, really good gift giver. Thank you so much.
I feel like the listeners are going to be like, and all Catherine got her was some fucking slippers.
They're so good, the slippers, though.
No, but
good.
I feel like I understand where they're coming from, and you're right, I do owe Helen a drink.
Merry Christmas!
Merry
Happy
Christmas!
End of January Christmas!
Happy end of January. Oh, my goodness.
You're
Thank
so
God.
Welcome, guys.
I'm so bad at receiving gifts, I'm just like overly sincere, but they're really nice. Thank you so much.
I can't believe it. Because also what's great is that you would tell me.
Oh yeah, we'd be, like we'd I would say as well. If they were
we wrong, hoped they'd be better.
Like when I brought you a present from holiday, and you both.
I mean, ultimately, as whilst I do appreciate the gifts, the last 8 minutes of podcasting has been poor quality. Mm. It's just been us being nice to you, and you being nice to us.
Oh my god! Now tell you what, like tell me like my favorite things that you like about me. Like what's the best things about me?
No, we're not going to do that.
Let's
not.
No, let's just keep going.
I would say I'm immensely relieved because I've been worrying about the size of your hooves for some time.
We all are. For anyone wanting for curiosity or for a foot fetish. I'm a lady size 9 wide fit, but an Oliver Bonus medium / large.
Yes, you are.
Which is mental.
Oh my god, and they're so cute. They actually are really cute, and I thought they would go with all of your jumpers.
They are fucking amazing.
So I'm very happy.
You know the foot fetish thing? I got a message on Instagram from this account called like FootFet20 or something like that.
And I know FootFet20.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. That's right.
I fully believe that though. I was like, of course Helen knows FootFet20. He messaged me. He was like, what size shoe are you? And I was like, oh, 9, maybe 10 in a welly.
Oh, you answered. Well, 10 in a welly?
I feel like you told us this already. Maybe you didn't.
Well, and then he kept asking questions about my feet and like whether I had a wide sole. I'm like, okay, so I replied as a joke. I don't really want to answer any more questions.
Fair.
He was like, oh, I just want to talk to a comedian about their feet. And I was like, oh, do you know my comedy? And he was like, no, I just searched #  stand-up comedy and you came up. What an insult.
Oh my God. So any foot will do.
Any foot will do, yeah.
Wow. Soulless soul chat.
For pictures of our feet, follow us on Patreon. Patreon.com/trustyhog.
And donate a shitload of money and maybe we'll think about it.
I'll send it to you for a fiver.
I think I'm already on WikiFeet. I didn't put myself there, obviously. It's grim.
She's made it.
Yeah.
Andrew, look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Because I found your rating on WikiFeet.
Go on.
Oh, wait. So Catherine...
What's my rating on WikiFeet, Andrew?
4.2 brackets, nice feet.
What? 4.2?
Out of 5?
So, sorry, it's got a breakdown of all of the votes. Do you want to hear this?
Yes!
So 9 people said you have beautiful feet.
What? How do they even know? When have they seen my feet?
You've had 90... There's a picture... Of course, the whole point of the WikiFeet is that they've attached pictures of your feet.
Where do they find pictures of my feet?
Oh, it's just like public photos on Instagram and stuff. It's not like creepy.
They get a full body shot and then zoom in on the hooves?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, I haven't put my trotters on there.
It's just one of you in like kind of... heels, but like exposed heels.
Red heels?
Peep toe shoes, that's it.
You fucking foot slut.
Oh my god, why have they done that?
Well, 9 people thought you had beautiful feet. 3 people had said you had nice feet. 4 people said you had okay feet.
She's all right.
1 person said you had bad feet. And 2 people said you had ugly feet.
2
ugly feet?
But that's averaged out to a 4.1, 4.2
that's
rating.
That's not bad.
The thing is, I actually think I'm scoring higher than I thought I would because I have bunions. So I'm surprised.
But bunions could be beautiful for some of the foot people. You know
I
what I mean?
I think so. They run in my family. Mm. They're pretty hideous.
Bunions are like the growth.
Oh,
right?
I can edit it. What's your shoe size? I can update the listing.
No,
for
these people don't deserve the facts.
Yeah, okay. Update it. Yeah.
No, what?
She's a 6.
I'm a 5. The point.
She's
I'm a 5.5, actually.
I'm a 5.5
slim fit. The point is, Andrew, several questions. I always have a pedicure. What are the ugly people saying? I always have a pedicure. Always.
Look, the only options are to star rate it. You can't. I'll give you 5 stars to boost your.
But there's no comments.
Andrew, don't rate her on WikiFeet. It's just weird now.
Don't like, pity rate.
Leave her be.
It's fine. I have to create an account to do it anyway, and I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going
to
do it.
I have questions. Was there any comments?
No. They got people who like Catherine Bohart's feet also liked.
Who else do they like?
Kaylee Cuoco.
Oh, I love Katie
Nice,
Cuoco.
Love to be in that company.
Holly Willoughby. Amazing. Maisie Williams.
What fantastic company, foot-wise,
that's
to be in.
There is a comment.
Five stars. I can only find 1 picture of her feet to start her page. Such a shame, because they look fantastic.
Oh my God.
What is wrong with people?
That's the picture, by the way.
Oh, my
it's a press shot.
It's the one about a chair. Oh, yeah. What is wrong with people, though? I didn't consent to that. Mm. Imagine if there was like a Tittypedia and you were just on there.
Tittypedia.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd be up there.
You would, but like also imagine if there were just like close-ups of your tits that you didn't ask anybody to use. Wouldn't they be full?
I'm kind of fine with it. I don't know. I'm not really blinking.
If there was Tittypedia, there'd just be like a full photo of your actual left breast because you get it out and put it on the internet. That's crazy. Wow, people have a lot of time on their hands. I think I understand okay feet. Ugly feet seems really mean, given really? That I always have a pedicure.
And you do. You're very good at taking care of your hooves and your hands.
Yeah, and I do. I do that because I run so much that if I don't...
Oh, I need to moisturise. Remember my resolution.
Ding, ding, ding. Let's... Ding,
ding. We cannot have another on-air moisturising
okay,
session.
Fine, Andrew. We'll just do it together and you don't have to record
it. And the good news is I've lost it. Okay. So.
Resolution's going very well.
This episode of the podcast has been dog shit. We apologize at home if you are a foot fetishist. Stop being non-consensually so.
I don't know. Keep it up. It's kind of funny.
God, this is so grim. Hey, Helen, how's your week been?
It's been good. Thank you for asking me. I want to tell you what I've been doing.
Tell me.
Okay. I've decided that I want to become an observational comedian. I want to make more observations in the world, not necessarily about myself, but observations. But thing is, you can only observe what you already observe, right?
Okay, yeah.
So like, I could become an observational comedian, but I'm not suddenly going to go to like an art gallery every week and observe art. So I observe like the shit TV and films I watch.
Yeah.
And I have figured out, you know how everyone's like, I really hope this is a good observation. And if the listener doesn't think so, then I'm going to go fucking live it.
Can I just ask before you do the observation, why the like stylistic change?
Because I just think it would be fun to try out something new.
Sure. I mean, absolutely challenge. Move your art on by all means.
You know, it's like when you get like a sweatband at school and you're like, I guess I'm a Grebo. Like,
I don't know what that means.
Okay, but just say yes.
Okay, yes. 100%. Yes. These observations are so far very universal.
Like, or like shag bands. Do you have shag bands in Ireland? Like, you'd get a band for every guy you fucked, but you were like 12 and you never fucked anything?
No.
Apart from that climate crime, Baseball Park, am I right, guys?
So is the stickers like it's bad observational comedy?
Yeah. No, it's not bad observational.
Okay, go
and
on.
Like, this is the worst thing. I actually wrote it down because I was like, this is great.
Okay, let's have it. Let's have
it. So you know how like there's that old trope which is like, oh, like it's really unattainable, like women in films, because their lives are like so like, they live in these amazing houses, but like everything's so difficult, then they meet the man of their dreams and it all works out. And it's like, this is fucking bullshit. Right. I have figured out that there are so many problems with it. And I think it starts with the most unattainable thing, which is something that I've never seen anyone do in real life, which is when women go to the toilet in films, which is so often, and they always do a shot of them from outside the stool and you can just see their feet under the stool and they pull their knickers down all the way. How mad is that? Hello? And they have their knickers around their ankles. When you go to the toilet, how far down do you pull your pants?
Yeah, not that far, actually.
So we're in films. Think about it. I know what everyone's knickers look like because they take them all the way down, which feels like a pervert move. And this is how I take the observation into taking on society, right?
Okay.
Because perverts, because you can't be funny unless you're saying something.
Yeah.
Because perverts are trying to show everyone what these girls' pants looks like Reese Witherspoon's pants.
Right.
They're like, they're directing her and they're like, all the way down. She's like, but we don't do this. And he's like, all the way down.
Yeah.
And then they're there. So then I am now going to try and mimic art in my life. So now when I go to the toilet, I take my pants all the way down to my ankles.
Okay.
And that's my observation. Also, I have a new observation as well.
Can I just say, when Michael McIntyre like spots something out in the world,
yeah,
he does have a punchline at the end as well. That's kind of a crucial element to the observational
comedy.
But I haven't figured out the punchline yet. It's just an observation.
Have you figured out what the message is? Or the learning?
Yeah, the message is...
Get those pants down, ladies.
Just because a male director says that you have to have your pants in shot doesn't mean you have to. Because I think it then puts a lot of pressure on you and the pants to not be stained. Hello? And then I made another movie observation. So I was like, maybe I'll just do a show of movie observations. And I was watching Encanto, which is the new Disney movie. Amazing. And so, you know, Disney are trying not to do like love, like not do like romantic love.
Yeah, yeah.
As like their storylines, like princess meets prince, are trying to like have like a strong female lead who doesn't need a romantic connection to be complete and everything be amazing. So instead they're putting a lot of pressure on her family relationships. And
oh,
I think I'd rather watch a story of unattainable love from someone I don't know than the idea of being like, you're going to love your sister. Your sister's going to be your ride or die.
Now, this is good.
This is good, rich vein.
Really? Yeah. I'd say drop the pants stuff, but we're into this.
Okay, but maybe the pants is like a segue into it.
No.
Because the stained pants are not a segue into children. Let me just tell you right now, they're not. and you don't want them to be.
That's gonna be a no.
But the Disney stuff is great.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like the unattainable love of someone that you've never met and like that perfect relationship. I feel like I've got over that and I've challenged it in my brain. And now, I mean, the argument is that I shouldn't still be watching Disney movies as regularly as I do.
Listen,
but
we
who likes their sister that much?
Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
Do you really?
I think you're onto something there. Yeah, absolutely.
But like, what observations do you have at the moment?
Why did this get turned on me? I didn't say I wanted to be
objectively the meanest one to you, and you've really put it on Catherine.
I felt judged and I panicked and I pounced out.
I asked you why you would want to like expand your Irish history. He's the dick about it, and then suddenly I get told my set is a piece of shit.
No!
And then I'm like, suddenly on the spot, like, what observations do you have, shithead? Like, isn't it mad how matches fit and I'm like, God, you don't know me. You don't know me. I have stuff going on. How dare you?
I just want to know if there was any observations that you've made recently where you're like, this is killer. This is killer.
I did have one yesterday. Actually.
Andrew hit me.
Because Netflix, I just thought the other day, Netflix have a play something feature. Yeah. Like that's how
it's like, like a shuffle.
Yeah, like yeah. A shuffle. Like how? What a state are we in society that we're just like, just play something, anything please. Don't give me a second alone. My thoughts. Just play something, anything, please. God. Oh, thank goodness, Emily in Paris. Off you. Oh, there was a moment.
I'm just gonna say it. I absolutely love season two of Emily in Paris, which is how it's meant to be pronounced. Andrew.
Oh, sorry.
It's supposed to be a rhyme.
Good lord. Oh my god, have you watched series two?
No, babe, no.
Have you not watched series one?
No. I mean, I watched a bit of season one because Emma Black was watching it back in the day, but like...
Oh, I watch all trash television. Emily in Paris, my favourite moment is in series two when she, frankly, I hope it's okay to say, emaciated, stylish, like fashion-influenced, like thin, thin actress gives a like... frankly, not at all rousing speech on body positivity to an office of also emaciated French women. And they're like... Yeah, I guess. And the whole thing is so lackluster. It's like a writer was writing it being like, I guess somebody should say something about this, I guess.
Fucking amazing.
Let's get it over quick though, because we all have to break for cigarettes soon. Like it's so bad.
Was that an observation, Andrew?
No, it wasn't.
I was just trying to figure it out.
Stop trying to trap her into doing observational comedy.
I'm learning
about comedy because I didn't learn what a pun was at the end of last year. So I'm still like...
Finn Taylor described my comedy to my face as Anxious Annie. And I was like, I'm not even insulted. Like, that's my vibe.
That's brilliant.
That should be a show title.
Yeah,
that's
I'm just great. Like... We're like conversational, confessional, diarized idiots. And we just like, I think maybe we're different comics, but like, I think that what we do is oversharing to the point of trauma bonding with a bit of lols.
I do love trauma bonding with the crowd.
Yeah.
Because they can't trauma bond back.
Yeah, they don't get... Oh my God, absolutely. It's one-sided trauma bonding. That's our comedy style.
I think what I'm trying to say is that Catherine and I are doing two shared previews over the next couple of weeks
at the Camden
Comedy Club.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we are.
And I would love it if you would come and hear some of my new movie observations.
I'll just be doing my usual trauma shit, so
And I will
come
be
along.
Making some observations from and not... only including Spencer, June, Star Wars, Legally Blonde, Encanto, and Jaws.
You should start a film podcast.
What? No, Andrew, we're doing this podcast.
We'll make this into a film podcast.
Our work in progress. No, our double-headed work in progress on the 31st of January is at Camden Head, and you can find tickets on our websites, or at least on my website. Can they find them on yours, Helen?
I could do a film podcast.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
Our guest today is comedian, actor, and all-around good guy.
A sweet baby angel.
A very funny boy from the show that is Feel Good. It's Jack Barry. Jack Barry, everybody.
Whee!
Hi, it's Catherine from Trusty Hogs. I'm going on tour. My new show is called This Isn't For You. Despite that, it is for you and I would very much like you to attend. Please come. I'm going all over the UK and Ireland and it starts in February and finishes in June. So good long haul, plenty of dates and frankly, there's plenty of tickets left. So please come and tell your friends or if you think they'd hate it, tell your enemies. Either way, I'll see you there, I hope. Right? Come on. Okay. Okay, are we ready to start?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hogs, please welcome to the podcast. It's Jack Barry, everybody.
Yay! Hey, Jack. I've literally started this by crying by something we were just talking about, which you can't discuss on the podcast.
No, because we were
but
pitching.
Now I feel like I've got watery eyes. Yeah.
It's fine. Nobody can see. Jack Barry, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah.
I'm putting my phone on airplane mode.
Oh shit! I haven't done that.
Very professional. Well,
but you know, this is the thing. You never know what's going to pop up. Like I've got two voice notes from Janine Haruni. Who doesn't want to hear these?
I know.
Right. To that right now.
You know what it is, the voice notes are, for anyone who doesn't know, Janine Haruni is an amazing comedian and she's on honeymoon.
She's in Thailand, isn't she?
In Thailand. But she is constantly uploading these pictures of her and her husband and she's being held up like a plank.
Yeah, because it's her birthday and she refuses to walk.
I cannot understand how they're not photoshopped, so I'm trying to get her to explain to me how a body can do that.
She looks very like a fish that he's just caught post-divorce.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, it's like a Tinder picture.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Oh, my God. I so know what you mean, that picture of a guy holding up a fish, you know it's not. It's a fish that he needed to catch.
Yeah.
Because he's just lost access to the kid. Yeah. So it's not a case of like going fishing and catching a fish. And it's like, oh, good, something for dinner for the wife to cook. Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to hold this because I've got nothing else to hold.
Exactly.
Oh, there's that look of love in his eyes that's like, you're all I've got now, fish.
I'm going to feed on you for years. Can we please introduce Jack Barry properly? Jack Barry is an excellent comedian. Also, an excellent actor. Also, just off tour with Mae Martin as support.
Thank you.
What an exciting
also,
time for you.
Also, previous face of McCoy's.
I was the face of McCoy's.
Let it not go unsaid.
I'm
glad that still comes up. It still, unfortunately, is the biggest highlight of my career.
No!
In everything I've done, I'd say McCoy's.
Tour support for Mae Martin's pretty epic.
It was pretty epic.
Tour support for Mae Martin's epic. Being your own tour support, I'd say, is even more epic.
That's amazing. So tell us about that.
I left my agent and basically I got fucked over with the money and I didn't have any money to pay a tour support or anyone to drive my car or tour manage or anything. So I basically, at the end of last year, I did a tour where I was just doing everything. I had a wig. I was like, if I put this wig on, then I'll come out and I'll say, I've got my support act. He's called Derek Jokes. He's a really great guy. And I was expecting just the audience to immediately be like, ha ha ha. But it never got a laugh. I would just walk out and I'd be like, does everyone know who Jack Barry is? And they go, yeah. And I go, so it's me in a wig. And they go, yeah. And I'll be like, okay, that's fine.
Wow.
As long as I know that you're getting the joke and just not, you know, laughing at it, that's fine.
But it's that thing of like when you're in a wig, you've committed already.
It's so hard. And I made so many callbacks to it throughout my set as well. And the callbacks would get a bit more than the initial joke, but it was quite mortifying.
That's amazing. Did you do tour support for May as Derek or Jack?
As Jack, I was just Jack,
right,
but
broke,
Jack, the character from Feel Good, not me, the comedian.
Because Derek's...
I was more the suit from Feel Good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Derek doesn't get gigs independently.
Oh, no, not really, not yet. But
Derek's
maybe
very
will.
Much a support artist. Like, Derek's not, no one's calling up being like, can we get Derek at Moth Club tonight? Like, he's not...
No, unfortunately not. Derek, but mostly just, he does my new jokes that aren't
amazing.
Good enough for me to do in my set. Nice.
I've actually personally never seen Derek live. I've only heard about it.
You're unlucky.
I know.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of Derek performing.
I'd like to see him live.
But like,
if people start requesting him, I would really enjoy
would
that.
You do
I think. Yeah. I remember like years ago, Matt Ewins did a show in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And he did this show called Gag Tanamo Bay. It was like very Matt Ewins. He had this flyer printed and it was like it was a four header.
Amazing.
And he had all these other comedians on the flyer and one of them was called like Derek Potatoes. No, what was he called? No, I've just said Derek. Something else potatoes.
Because Derek's in your head.
Derek's in my head. But anyway, and then and basically he would start the show by going, everyone else is dead, it's just me. And then that was just how he explained it at the beginning of the show. But one day Oliver Potatoes, this family came and they were like, is Oliver Potatoes on today? And he was like, well, no,
because
I made him up. And they were like, oh, they were really disappointed. This family were like, sorry, kids, I guess there's no Oliver Potatoes today.
That's insane. Why were even kids there?
I don't know. On the flyer, it said Oliver Potatoes was like Derby's premier comedian. So I can only guess that they were from Derby and had just looked for a comedian
or
from Derby.
Could have been Irish.
It could have been Irish, yeah. Just a fan of the name. That's
just
true.
Some enthusiasts. That's amazing. And so...
I kind of get where they're coming from, though, because there are some names where you're like, they're going
to
be funny. Do you know what I mean? Like a funny name. Yeah. And like Oliver Potatoes, you'd be like, I imagine there's some juggling. Like, I wouldn't imagine it being like straight down the lens, sort of like comedy, like insane observations. It would be Oliver Potatoes! Like, come on stage backwards and be like, where are you? There you are! And that's my brand of comedy.
I kind of wish he was a searing satirist, though.
Yeah, that just kind of doing something really serious. Yeah.
But just every now and again, like, so my favourite genre of comedy, because I don't really watch so much comedy apart from, like, the gigs I'm doing, is Magic on the Free Fringe. But when they're... So on Magic on the Free Fringe means that they're not able to do a full venue, so usually it's not, like, quite polished yet. They're learning their craft, which I totally respect. The Fringe is for learning. So,
sure.
And I like magic when they're still figuring it out. It's like half the jokes end with, like, autistic guys going, oh, fuck's sake! And then going, right, next trick, forget it. And like, because they haven't quite got the power, but they're also trying to slip in a couple of jokes. They've like, they've read about showmanship.
They haven't learned how to play it off if it doesn't land. Yeah. Okay,
and
I've been there.
So incredible watching them doing like really like insane thing, and then they don't do it, and they're like, fuck, paid fucking £200 for that joke last week online. And they're really pissed off, and then they go, you guys drinking?
Bring it back.
I would genuinely love to go see that with you. I have to say, my own personal brand of escapism at the Fringe, because that's presumably why you go to see that, is very earnest and ultimately terrible plays.
I love
a studio production. I love anything where they're trying to do more than one theme, but like searing social commentary.
Sick.
I went to see a football themed show that was on the Pleasant, so I shouldn't it was probably a very good production, but also they were trying to get so many social issues in. So like it started and they were talking about like homophobia and then sexism and then racism, all important, and then classism.
In an hour?
In an hour.
Yeah.
In a play about football.
You've got to pick one, haven't you?
Then one of their dad dies on the side of the page. Then there's like, I think another health matter as well. And I just honestly, and domestic abuse, obviously.
Stop.
And
oh my God.
The problem was that I was so tired and found it all so, I was howling laughing.
This is the problem. Hysteria.
Floods of tears.
No,
it was just really moving you.
Screaming laughing. But the problem was like, obviously the only people who were in were like their parents. Everyone was horrified by me, and I couldn't. Like even the people I was with were like, shut the fuck up. And every time there was another social issue, I just had the best time. So great. What is your form of escapism at the Fringe?
Oh, I don't know. But everything you were saying was reminding me, when I did student comedy, we used to flyer on the mile. And there was one year where every day we just ended up flyering next to this production, which was, it was a production of Oliver Twist.
Oh, I love it.
Set in Nazi Germany. And
I would go. Yes! That's the thing. I like
and,
it.
But, and
I love
and,
Edinburgh Fringe so
and it was
much.
Like, it was like a secondary school production, but all the girls were in like corsets, like slutty sort of fishnets.
Now
corsets.
Everyone who's listening to this will be like, "That's disgusting." Made the girls do it. I remember being a teenage girl. We wanted to be slut.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they did.
Strong overuse of the word slut about children. I would say.
Children, teenagers.
I would say
children.
Two off the bat.
Revealing? Shall we say revealing?
Yeah, they were revealing. And not very Nazi, I wouldn't have said. Like, not very time sensitive.
Yeah, where's the uniform? Put your uniform on.
Yeah, I don't know. And they would stand in the middle of the Royal Mile every day going, status! And they go, orphan! And they'd be like, what name? Oliver Twist! And I still can picture it so clearly in my head because I saw it all day, every day. And there was like one girl who was obviously the lead. And her mum was the director of the play.
Dark.
So she would be sort of swanning around in her sort of corset. And fishnets. And then her mum sort of had a cane and she'd sort of hobble over and be like, come and see my daughter in Nazi Germany. And it was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. I never went to see this... the show, but I think one of my friends.
I think that's what it is. It's that, like, it's so cringe. So what we were saying was like cringe, but then it's like when children do it because they're really earnestly taking on a big social subject.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when at school when you're doing your GCSEs and you've got like really intense subjects, then you sort of like pull out, you know?
That was honestly, that's what a joy.
And the worst thing about it was that they were obviously of the age at school where some of them were. Now I'm going to sound like a pervert, but some of them had matured and some of them hadn't. So you're like, okay. So
you said the Artful Dodger was flat-chested, but Nancy was fucking there.
There were some women in corsets, and there were some tiny girls in corsets, basically, in a group. And it was just like...
Pervy Jack Barry.
I just felt bad for them because these other girls were obviously desperate to wear the outfit, but they did just look like children and it was just so unnerving.
Wow. Oh, the ones who were majority called sluts and the ones who didn't, he felt sorry for. Wow.
I'm trying to figure out how Oliver and Nazi, like, who was the head Nazi? Like,
they were all
Bum?
Girls. I couldn't tell who
of
was a Nazi.
Of course it was an all-girls school. We knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, that was a given,
you
right?
You didn't need to be a dad.
Yeah. But, like, who... Like, I just don't quite understand. So, like, Oliver's, like, a young Jewish boy?
I assume so.
Okay.
I assume so. I don't know. I didn't see the production, as I said. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry to me. Be sorry from their flaring. You know,
I was trying to piece together the whole thing from their flaring technique.
This is phenomenal. Build your own show at home.
Did I tell you about this on the podcast already? It was like the thing that I saw that I just like, I knew I couldn't see Sincere Theatre anymore because I wouldn't be able to handle myself well. So I used to work at the National Theatre, but like in catering. But a lot of people I worked with were also like actors, performers, writers, creatives. So there was a lot of like, oh, come see my play. Like, of course. So like, loads of like really good stuff, like people just doing stuff on zero budgets. And there was one, I think it was in Greenwich, and they did a night of just like shorts from like people's plays trying to get them written.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And oh my God, it was insane. It was a group of like 20 white kids. They took on Israel Palestine.
Finally. Oh,
some of the white kids are going to do it. Right.
Let's get that sorted. Yeah, yeah.
Israel, all wearing white. Palestine, all in black.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it was a 10-minute series of still images with a blackout in between each one. So they'd go like, struggle.
No, tableau.
War.
Tableau.
Is that what it is? Still image tableau? It was,
so they're not
I
moving.
Couldn't breathe. Wow. I could not. And then like, every now and again, they'd hold a still image of ages and go, death. Oh my God, it was powerful. It was so moving.
It's
and I couldn't breathe in because I knew I'd laugh. And I just, you know, when you're like, I'm struggling, I don't know what to do with myself. It was insane.
That's horrific.
But it's that thing of like, let's do the subject, let's take on a big one. This is why this Edinburgh, I will be taking on the subject of Israel Palestine.
No. Finally,
Helen's diving in.
I don't think that's for the best. Okay, so
anyone's going to sort it.
It'd be me and
it's
Derek Jones.
Every day you're like, Derek's dead. Isn't this a bit revisionist? You got a piercing.
I got a piercing, yeah, you noticed. Hey-o. I know, lots of my best friends have not noticed. So
thank you
for noticing.
It's so cool.
Thank you.
But also, I'm well done on it being your first piercing and it being cool rather than lame.
Oh, well, that's good. That's all you want, really, isn't
it?
I think so, yeah. I went lame my first piercing.
Did you? Yeah.
Just the double holes here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the ears.
Age like
that's
13.
That's pretty basic.
Yeah. And I got like a little gold rimmed aquamarine stone.
Oh, hideous.
And that was it. And I never cleaned them. And then at the end of the time when you can change them, holy shit, the hair wrap and the gunk behind it was insane. Insane.
The gunk.
Jack.
What gunk are we talking? No, I
don't engage her.
Like, belly button shit.
Stop it.
Mixed with actual
what did
shit.
I ask?
What have I told you before? Lavender
with, like,
oil.
Like, yeah. And then like stuff that you find in the corner of windows when you remember to clean them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Hour. You're just
like bits and bobs.
Why do you?
A collection. A pound shop worth of bits and bobs. Bric-a-brac. That's what it was.
What prompted you to get your ear pierced?
I don't know. I just thought I'm
you're
getting,
on the telly
I'm,
now?
I'm getting into my 30s. It's about time to have some sort of midlife crisis,
nice,
isn't it?
Nice.
We went for a Christmas lunch with my house. We had like a house Christmas lunch out. And then we were like, let's all go get them done. So we just all
what
went and got a piercing.
What did everybody else get?
They all got sort of similar. They both already had piercings in their ears, but they just got like another one in the
nice
same sort of place.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very pleasant. Never had it done before. Went to Metal... What did I say? It was called Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
In Carnaby Street. They were very nice, very professional.
Very nice.
I was a bit shaky afterwards. I think I built myself up. I was like, is this going to hurt?
Yeah, people think it's a bigger pain than it is.
Yeah.
But it's just so
quick. And then afterwards you're like, oh, right.
I don't know. I've had some that I've been... Generally, they haven't been too painful. But I go to Sacred Gold in Soho and they have such a fancy room, but it's also like... It's a bit like, what's that musical with the barber who kills people?
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I was like...
The true story of Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's that like barbershop, like clinical barbershop vibe where you're like, Someone's gonna
kill me.
Or like steal my organs.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
It has that vibe. But like, I love it because it's so clean.
That's exciting.
But it
does
have like.
They're all a bit like that, aren't they? There's just lots of tools around. Yeah. And it's very clean, and you're like, someone's getting cut up.
This was like in Fleet on Linkway, and then I did this one, which is gone now, which is at Claire's on Oxford Street.
Yeah, that all fits. Yeah. That all makes sense. Did you say you're building up to a tattoo?
I want to get a tattoo.
Have you got any?
I haven't got any. Yeah, no, which surprises people. Weirdly, two people in the last month.
I'm always surprised people don't have tattoos because I assume that everyone's got them apart from me.
I don't have any.
But you'd assume you didn't.
But two people I know quite well have said they're surprised I don't have one on my ass. They said I seem like a guy who's got one on my ass.
You look like a guy who got messed at a festival and got a Tweety Bird on his ass.
Yeah, or like baby's first stag do.
Yeah.
I feel sad to disappoint people in that way. So
you know what?
I should get one on my ass.
Tasmanian devil. That's the vibe you give.
You
like Taz spinning around.
Or like a weed leaf.
Chris Quayle, comedy agent Chris Quayle, said he was surprised I didn't have the Adihash logo.
I get that. Yeah. We're like, yeah.
A little alien saying, "Toke me to your leader."
Oh my god, don't get that. What tattoo were you thinking of?
I wanted to get some shrooms, genuinely.
Because we're going to do shrooms together.
Helen texted me the other day asking me to be her shroom guide.
Shroom spirit guide.
Shroom shaman I would have gone with.
I've never done hallucinogenics before.
Excuse me, hold on a second. I'm going to need you to rewind. First of all, I didn't realise you guys were on a mushroom text basis.
Neither did I until last week.
It was like, we've met.
Maybe it was a bit too confident.
I was really happy with it. I genuinely couldn't do Sunday.
Yeah.
You were going to do them on a Sunday?
Yeah, it was a good day for me to do it.
It's the Lord's Day. It's a good time to meet him.
I've not done mushrooms and I won't be. But where did you get them? Good Lord. And you've done them before?
Many times. Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the thing, because I've never done hallucinogenics before. And from all of my understanding, obviously you can just take them, but like I know I'll enjoy, because it's like if you're anxious going into a trip, it's usually like it can make it a bad trip sort of thing. You want to be somewhere, you know, you feel safe with someone that you know knows what they're doing. Because
That's the only thing that could make it a bad trip, basically.
It's going into it with anxiety.
Yeah, and not being comfortable and being nervous.
And I will obviously be a tiny bit nervous because it's a new experience.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like first time you do anything, like it's a bit...
I know some people who grew some over lockdown and then when they were going to do it for the first time, put up signs all over their house that said, like, everything's okay, you're all right.
See, we won't
need
them.
To remind themselves. Yeah. Oh, that's very nice.
Because we'll have Sunil upstairs going, you're fine.
Or, depending on the mood he's in, we'll be like, nothing means anything, everything is ending. And you'll be like, oh, God.
Once my friend, this was like when we did bucket shows in Berlin and someone was just like dropping in tabs of acid. And like I would been in the UK for a bit. Like people just like gave drugs or something. Instead of cash. Sometimes they didn't have cash on them, they'd have drugs. This is so awful.
I would be fuming.
I was back living in the UK. I was back visiting and we were going for a burger. And he, for some reason, was just like, took some. He didn't know what it was exactly before he came and met me, because he's like, oh, it's a good day. I've got nothing on later. I'm just hanging out with Helen. And we were just sitting having Burgermeister, which is like in Koppersator, but like right on this big, busy roundabout, like in Berlin. And he just suddenly went, we need to go. And he had not told me he'd taken anything. This came out later.
So
I took him back to my friends that I was staying in that he knew. So it was quite close. Got him up all these stairs.
Oh, my God.
And then I don't know what was wrong with me. I think I was a bit hungover. And I was kind of enjoying him spinning out. But I played Elton John's Princess Diana, Candle in the Wind.
Oh, my God, you did.
10 times in a row. Yeah. And he was like, can you hear that? And I was like, what?
No!
You don't deserve this shroom.
Yeah,
shaman.
That's exactly how you should not be doing shrooms.
Shout out to Kenan Ahl, a great German language comedian.
You do not deserve this.
It was incredible.
So if you were being shaman, would you also do the shrooms?
Well, if Sunil was upstairs, why not?
Yeah, that's the thing. Sunil will be there.
And what is good about mushrooms?
Oh, they're the best. Yeah, they're everything's good.
Okay.
They're like pure joy, really. And they just... I mean, do we want to do this? I can get fully into this. They can like be used to treat mental health problems.
Mm-hmm. That's more like microdosing, right?
Well, you can microdose or you can macrodose and just do like one big load. It's basically like, yeah, you take them and just everything, suddenly you see the joy in the world and it just sort of makes you realise that the most important energy and force in the world is love, basically. And I find that you come out of it just feeling like, love is the most important thing that there is. And it's just
Are they safe?
I think they're safe, yeah. I mean, genuinely, in terms of bad trip, people think that if you maybe have a bad dose, then you might go insane and you'll never be the same again or anything like that. But that's a myth. That's completely
spread. You said that wrong, and I was like...
From mushrooms or overdosing on mushrooms, it's only because they have like have a bad reaction. They run out in front of something. But same people do with alcohol.
One second, Andrew.
Sorry?
Now would be a time for a...
A caveat.
Yeah?
Yes. Please do not take any medical advice from Trusty Hogs. We are not qualified professionals. Any actions you do take as a result of Trusty Hogs, we cannot be held legally culpable for. Thank you.
All right, back to the question. Yeah.
Okay.
So fun.
Having said that, take magic mushrooms. You must take magic mushrooms.
Well, you know, I just want a new experience. I've never done them before. Everyone says that, like, they're fun, they're magical, like, it unlocks a little creative thing in your brain. I'm like, let's fucking do that. And then I want to
do think everyone should do them.
Yeah. How do they mix with, like, other medications, though?
You should do research into it, because I have heard other people say that if you're on antidepressants, but I think it's like a safety thing. But I honestly, like, I have heard of lots of people who have been on antidepressants who have taken them and it's been fine.
Am I such a buzzkill? I'm like...
No, not at all.
It's taken me to the age of 30 to be like, oh, I want to try hallucinogenics. Because before that, I was like, oh, no, that's not really for me. Like, I've just never, like, been around them that much. Just not something that, like, I was around in my world.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no, I do. I want to try it. I'm fascinated by it. And I'm fascinated by these different experiences. And I'm like, you know what? I've got an option to do it. And also because, like, I don't think I'm quite as sensible as you and Andrew, but I definitely know enough to be like, okay, so a space you feel familiar and comfortable in, home, someone that's staying sober, just in case anything does go wrong, check.
Set and setting, they call it.
Yeah, and someone who knows what they're doing and can, like, experience it with you so you're not alone in the trip. Done.
Yeah.
Tick to tick.
Exactly. Make sure you're in a comfortable setting is like with people you trust in a place where you feel safe. And then set is just like mindset. You've got to go into it knowing that you're going to see some crazy shit. Some of it you might not like, but ultimately it's good if you're confronting those things. Mm. And ultimately it's like a natural thing. It's a thing that grows in the ground. And they're these natural things that have helped people, and people have taken them for like millennia for religious reasons or mental health reasons. And so if it's showing you any crazy shit in your head or something that happened to you when you were a child, there's probably a reason that it wants you to see it. And it can be like a turbo form of therapy, basically.
And also because maybe my friend really want to do ayahuasca, but I don't want to do ayahuasca without having some experience.
Ayahuasca is intense, girl.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like you want to like... There's ways of like getting into things. Do you know what I mean? And like trying out.
Yeah.
Like, it might not be an experience that I enjoy. I might have a good trip, but still be like, you know what? That's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think I do think it's good. I'm writing a script about magic mushrooms and therapy with magic mushrooms. I've read like books about it now. So, and
any good books we should read?
There's a book called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, which I would recommend. It's really interesting.
My mum did shrooms when she was, this is like a couple of years ago, and she said that all she saw was tits the whole time. And she was like, I don't know
say
why
no
I unlocked.
I am
but
in.
My mum's done like, she was like a hippie, like
truly?
She's done all, everything.
Helen?
Like my mum's very...
I'm convinced. I'm in.
To do it is because my mum's so like, give it a go. But she was just like surrounded in like a bosom.
Oh, that's amazing.
I am in.
I did it once and I went to the bathroom and everything in my bathroom was made out of ice cream. That was one that I remember. And it was
did you
like,
lick your bathroom though?
I didn't lick it. No. But it was just like everything, it just looked like ice cream. And one time it was like, like in Japan, you buy, like everything has like a little face on it, like a little cartoon face.
Oh, yeah.
Everything in my bathroom had like that little face
Hello,
on it.
Jack.
And it was like, and my toilet was like, come and piss in my mouth. And I was like, okay. And he was like happy about it. And like, but like
why
in an innocent way.
In the toilet's mouth becomes such a theme on this podcast.
Also, what I will say before, for shrooms, for someone who hasn't done it but has like read about it and like has friends that do them, like you also will need to allow time for it. Like, it's not like a trip that you can bounce out of very quickly. Like, you can have a lot of sugar, from what I can gather. And
yeah,
that
yeah.
Can,
once
like,
you're
take
done,
you out of
eating
it.
Sugar is a good thing to do. Yeah,
why
yeah. It just counteracts the psilocybin in you, basically.
Okay.
And it just sort of brings it down. So if you're ever having like a bad trip and you feel uncomfortable, you don't want to, then they say eat a Snickers and that will sort of start to calm you down.
Any excuse to have a Kit Kat chocolate.
It's becoming more and more my drug. Titties and chocolate. Yes, please.
Oh, they are great. Yeah. Like acid I've done as well. And acid like lasts for ages. So like the problem with that is like, if you're on it for like 13 hours, then by the end you're like, I kind of want to be normal now.
Yeah.
But
shrooms,
you're like 3 or 4 hours, do it in the afternoon. By the evening, you're feeling pretty great. There's no hangover. You don't feel rough the next day. Everything just kind of has like a rosy glow.
That's what I'm excited for, just to like get a slightly different perspective.
Yeah, and just to rub things away. The one of the things I read was like, you know, when they use this analogy that your brain is a bit like snow, and you have these tracks in the snow, and you know, like if a sled's going through snow, the tracks get deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And that's like your regular thought patterns. Like, so all your sort of insecurities or anxieties of like, oh, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, people hate me.
Everyone
all
hates
the,
me,
all
yeah,
these things
the
that
common.
Go around in your head all the time. They just get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can get and you can sort of rub away the tracks with therapy or meditation or like one hefty dose of psilocybin. It just kind of like rubs away the snow so that then you can start to make new tracks, and it can just like kind of help you reset and
and it's the same with most things about mental health. Like, what works for one person doesn't work for the other. Like, everyone has different things that will work for them, so this is not like, you know, like some people go like, oh, you need to do like, I've got friends who do a very specific sort form of therapy, which is definitely not my route. In the same way, there are people who do loads of therapy, but the idea of taking medication, like prescribed or non-prescribed medication, is totally wrong for them, because that really, that if anything, adds anxiety into them. Other people are fine with medication, but the idea of talking, they're not there yet, they're not ready, it's not comfortable for them. Like, you find the one that works for you, and I am definitely at a point when I am ready. I'm like in a good place and ready to try out a different option. Alongside,
I'm
excited, man.
I would say that I am more. I mean,
but I don't know if it's the right one for you.
Oh no, I'm not saying that I would do it. I'm just saying, like, I think that what I am aware of now is what I don't know enough about this to have an opinion on it.
I quite like
knowing
say.
What you don't know. Like, you know, to be like, okay, cool, I'm going to read about it, and I will read about it. That's so cool. Also, I just think, like, anything that moves us towards, like, more options for dealing with the mental health issues.
Well, absolutely,
That being said, but do you remember that guy I told you about who lost everything, had his stuff stolen, and then he rung up his mum to be like, I've got nothing, mother. And she was like, oh, you're telling me, son. I walked to the shed this morning, broke both my legs.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Do you remember when I told you about that guy? Yeah, big hallucinogenics guy. Some people just know. Just absolutely
just
not.
Shouldn't bother.
I saw this guy walk into a park so many times, hugging trees, being like, that's the last time we'll see him.
I genuinely stay away from drugs because I have done some in my lifetime, but I would say I have a very addictive personality.
Yeah.
And if you can have I don't know if you can have an addictive personality or just like if it's just your hormone composition, but
I wonder about that as well.
But I would say that whatever it is, that my general reaction to drugs have been like, more, give me more. Can I have more now?
Okay.
And I don't love myself when I'm on them. So.
Well, that's the thing is about shrooms as well, but they're not addictive, because once you've done like a dose, you can't really do it for the next couple of days, because it kind of, I don't understand it, but if you do like a dose, then like you'll have to recharge for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But also, I find like most addictive drugs, like they're the ones that make you feel shit the next day.
Horrendous.
Because then you're like, oh God, I feel awful. If I take more of it, then maybe I'll feel good again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in shrooms, the next day you feel great. And so then you're like, well, that works.
I overdosed when I was 4 because I drank a bottle of Calpol. So I feel like I fully understand what we're discussing here.
I've been to the edge.
They shouldn't make it taste so good. It's so fucked up.
Oh my God, we have to ask.
How do you OD on it? Is it possible? Isn't it just sugar?
You go into
my
a Calpol coma.
Found me passed out by a window with an empty bottle of Calpol. And
just
luckily.
Like purple dribbling down your
Calpol coma. No, but like, how many Irish mothers have been putting their kids to sleep with Calpol for years?
I mean,
really?
Parents through all the time still because it makes him sleepy. But luckily, it turned out, she went to the hospital, obviously, just in case, but it turned out like little Helen has insisted on using a spoon and I'd done a lot of spilling.
So, no,
most of it was on the floor.
I just fell asleep. It wasn't a big deal, but she still had to go into A&E and be like, my 4-year-old's OD'd. Don't take the kids away.
When you said use a spoon, there was a moment where I was imagining you cooking it and then injecting it.
Same. I just watched Dope Sick and everything I hear about drugs now, I'm like, it'll kill you. It's going to kill you. And the whole town. Anyway, have you seen Dope Sick?
I haven't seen it, but I've had it recommended.
I haven't seen it.
It's so depressing. Andrew, I feel like now we have to solve a listener problem. Okay, great. Got anything druggy?
This kind of fits with the mental health theme. Yeah. I'd also like to apologise on mic, just in case I can't edit around it. Sweeney Todd is not actually a true story. So I apologise for my sass.
Sorry, what'd you say, Andrew? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, Sweeney Todd's not a true
story. Sorry, Andrew, did you get something wrong?
I mean, I don't get too cocky because I could just edit this out.
Fine.
just to be clear, Sweeney Todd might not be a true story, but it felt true to me when I watched it. Thank you.
There's legends that might. Anyway, the point is, we do have a listener correspondence. This is from T.
Hi, T.
If you'd like to send us your own correspondence, trustyhogs@gmail.com. And they say, hello, hogs. There are things I want to do, brackets creative projects, that I know will be bring me pleasure once started, let alone finished. However, the thought of summoning the energy and gumption to begin is horrifying. When I was younger, I was so motivated and busy and happy. As I've gotten older, and as I haven't succeeded in many of my endeavours, I find I just can't start new pursuits anymore. When I try, I get sad and riddled with self-loathing about how unmotivated and lazy I am. How do you both summon the will to begin new things? Mm. How do you find motivation when the barrels seem empty? You're both so impressive at getting shit done, etc. Any secrets?
Just to be clear, if that's your perception that you're receiving, like...
Wow.
I know what my answer to this is, but I'm wondering whether it's your answers.
Okay, so first of all, I spend my entire day, this is my daily thought pattern. Morning, I should probably do something. Oh, I haven't done it, it's too late now. Well, I mean, realistically, should have done it months ago, I guess. Oh, God, nothing you've ever done is worthwhile. Sweet, okay, should I maybe try something? I mean, how would even... I guess I could watch some television. Dope Sick seems good. I guess I'm 8 episodes into that. Should I waste my day? Should I go to this gig? Will I cancel the gig? Do I even like gigging? What's the point of comedy? I guess I'll go to the gig. I guess I'll do the old crap again. Here I go, I'm doing the old crap. Sweet, well, everyone knows I'm a fucking fraud. Good night.
Yeah.
And you, Helen? Yeah.
I wake up Monday morning and I start accomplishing 7 a.m. Everyone's different, but I like to have a win before 7:30 a.m. That's just how I do things. No, I have
Helen's,
thought...
Helen's buying crypto first thing Monday morning.
Yeah, just me and Sunil Patel trading. First thing. I will say this. I have thought about this a lot in my life. About how do you find the motivation? I do think it comes back to that old thing of you don't want to find yourself up a ladder you don't want to climb. So forcing yourself to do something, if you don't want to do it, you're going to end up further along in something you don't want to do. So you've got to find something you want to do and then figure out how you work, and then you'll be able to work. Because if forcing yourself to sit down in silence and get work done, if you don't do it that way, then you're never going to do it that way. You're always going to be motivating yourself to do something by bullying yourself, which inevitably doesn't work. So I'm a social worker. I find it very...
Look after people.
Very helpful to have the people to do work for me. No, I find it very good to be let's meet up and work on this. And so I collaborate a lot of projects. It's very rare that I am able to start and do something myself. I think that's happened maybe once in my lifetime and I found the whole thing a struggle and a stress.
Yeah.
So...
I agree.
When I start putting together an Edinburgh show, I will find someone to work on it with. So this year I'm working with Rose Johnson from the Birthday Girls. I used to work with the amazing Phoebe Burke. I still do on things. Whenever I get something big in that I've got to really focus on and do stuff on, Phoebe, for example, helped me with my Live at the Apollo set just so I could go through it with someone, just to be accountable almost.
Yeah, I'm working on my Edinburgh show with Charlie Dinkin and last two shows I worked with Paul Byrne, and I couldn't have done it in either scenario without those people. I think collaboration's good. I also think you're right about figuring out how you work, and also sometimes that can change. My first Edinburgh show, I was really good at typing out all of the words. The second
I remember
show
that was so annoying.
That absolutely paralyzed me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck this, why am I doing this? Okay, I'll just go back to notes, and that was much better for me. So it can change. But I would say I think the biggest hindrance is comparing yourself to your past self. It's a bit like, I don't think it's particularly helpful.
How productive were you, T, as well? Like, what the fuck?
But also, like, that's not where you're at today. So, like, you can be like, congrats to me. That was great. I'm glad I did that. Moving forward from today, I think I have tried to stop this, but I do spend an awful lot of time beating myself up for the time I've already wasted. And it's like, you're not getting that back, hon.
Pick your goals. Like, Sunil's got a dream and vision board I made him at home.
You made him?
And one of them says resistance training to, like, get fit. But in brackets underneath it, it says lift wet towel with dick. And I think that's unattainable strength. To lift a wet towel up with
that
his
you've
dick.
Set for him.
No, he set it for
himself.
Oh,
he set that for himself.
Well, he set
up
resistance training, and then my friend came over and wrote that on it.
Okay.
But there's two things, right? It's like, one, how do you get motivated? And two, also, like, everyone is having the same struggle as you. Like, no, this idea of thinking that we are producing loads, I constantly feel like I'm underproducing.
Yeah, you think Kim Jong-un is waking up every day and just sort of going for it? Hell no.
It's a way that we think about people in society, isn't it? We really, like, revere, like, people who've been successful or something, and we forget that they've all gone through this same struggle. When you only see the things that people have produced, you know, if you only see the films that people have made or the shows that people have written, then it feels like they are very productive. But they've all had days and days and days that they've wasted and fucked around. And I read this thing the other day, which I thought was useful. It was like, you know, sometimes it's good just to, like, compartmentalize a day into, like, four sections. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, early morning, late morning, early afternoon, late afternoon, or whatever. And so if you waste one section, don't go, oh, the day's a write-off. Just go, right, that quadrant wasn't any good. We'll move on to the next bit.
That's nice.
And I can have a productive late morning, even if I'm having a productive early morning.
I would say, also, I think there's, was the word, like, motivation there?
Motivation.
Really early on in comedy, I tried to take it. Well, I got some advice from from Jimmy Carr, but I thought it was.
Oh my God, clang!
Clang! But I think it's really good advice, which is like, stop waiting. Like, he's like, motivation and inspiration don't really exist. Like, maybe for your first 5 minutes of comedy, you get inspired, but like, inspiration is like for. Like one hit wonders, and then the rest of us just sit down and do the work. I think like waiting to be inspired or waiting to have the motivation, you can wait I certainly can wait a long ass time. I don't have that much time to wait. So I think like trying to come up with writing exercises that help inspire you or at least like are an achievable thing. So even without motivation, you'll get it done in 15 minutes. It's something you've done today.
It's a grind.
I always feel like with questions sort of this style, you want to be able to just sort of be like, it doesn't matter, but the reason they're writing in is because it does matter.
What I'm trying to say is, I absolutely understand that it matters because I have the same crisis of faith, but I it's so burdensome. But I do think if you can't be gentler with each other, with yourself, and like forgive yourself for the time that's gone, and then whilst you wait to be able to do that, just break things into smaller pieces. Like, I think, I know it's really good the way everyone's like, dream big, but also like, it's also okay to like have achievable goals on a day-to-day basis that will add up to.
Sunil, I've got him into list writing because I write to-do lists consistently.
I want to do that.
Cannot function without a to-do
list. Me neither.
I have them constantly on the go.
Me too.
I love them so much, but the to-do list includes some ridiculous things that do not need to be written down.
Yeah, but they make
read one chapter of your book.
I put like...
I love it.
Run, shower on my list.
Oh,
because it makes me feel like I achieved something. But I will...
Pluck eyebrows? Oh my God.
But I will also say that make sure that your to-do list... I used to have like... an unachievable to-do list, and it would just sit there like taunting me.
Ugh.
So it's good to break things into smaller tasks on that, and also maybe even have like a personal to-do list, a work to-do list, a today to-do list.
Yeah.
So that like...
Yeah, that's a step above me.
But no, but like having like write Edinburgh show on your... Like that's just a horrible...
I know,
like,
it's too much.
It's paralyzing.
Yeah. It's too massive.
I'll have things like 30 minutes with new material.
Perfect. That's perfect.
What, do 30 minutes on it?
Yeah, just 30 minutes sitting with my notepad. If something happens, then great, but I've got 30 minutes to sit there and think about it.
Yeah.
But
I was listening to a thing with Jerry Seinfeld the other day, and he was saying, you know, I have to put like write for an hour, because if I sit down, it's like write for the day. It's like, well, this is never going to end then. Like, if you were at work and your boss came in and said, do this, indefinitely, you'd be like, oh my God, like you'd fall apart. So like, why set that mad idea for yourself?
Or like the inverse of like, I like this is going to go on forever is one attitude. Mine's like, mine tends to be like, oh, well, I have the whole day to get that done then.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, guess I'll just start with 4 episodes of This Is Us. Oh, yeah, I'm in a depression hole.
You have to stop watching that.
No, and I have
had to stop, but you have
I have
to stop
stopped.
As well.
I have stopped.
We were both like on the cusp of self-harming.
Watching This Is Us.
Yeah.
Like, I recommended it to me. No. I watched one episode. And I
had it fucking recommended to me by this network. They were like, you'll love it. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful vision of life. And I lost grasp. I nearly had to double my medication. Like, I was in an awful way. And then...
And that's
like
why she has to do mushrooms.
About 3 months later, Catherine was like, I didn't think you should watch it. I didn't think you'd be able to handle it. And I was like, are you fucking kidding?
Did
and
then
you
went,
and then you went back with like, I don't know if we should allow her to watch the next season because it was during COVID time. So they filmed it set around COVID. But then luckily I watched Selling Sunset and I no longer trust them because Chriselle was left by one of the actors. So...
Oh my God. Okay, well, my housemates watched Selling Sunset.
It's incredible.
I don't get into that either. I've got no truck.
Thank you to Jack Barry. Do you have anything you want to plug? I mean,
shrooms. Come and buy my shrooms.
Yeah, wait, you have
your own shrooms?
No, I don't really. Well, I have grown some, but I don't have enough to sell.
You don't want to be a seller.
We also can't legally sell shrooms.
Yeah. I love this. The last week's episode was Sunil trying to sell his cryptocurrency.
Is that not allowed either?
His own cryptocurrency.
This is why you can't have men on podcast.
Buy Sunil Bucks.
No. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be doing that.
Trusty Hoax has not endorsed Sunil Bucks.
Or Barry Shroom. Can you please tell us where people can find you?
People, please look at my website. I've got lots of silly videos and stuff on there. jackbarry.co.uk.
Yeah.
I'm in Feel Good on Netflix.
Yeah, it's perfection.
I'm doing a show at the Vault Festival in
Baby boy, Vault Festival got cancelled
just now. Are you kidding?
That's crazy
so funny.
Timing. No.
An hour and a half ago. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, this is good. This
I literally
is a good
just last night.
Oh God. Do you know what?
What a moment.
The only reason don't have a show.
The only reason I'm annoyed is because literally so just before Christmas, it felt like everyone had a show at Vault, and I was like, fuck, everyone, I haven't done a show this year, and I just felt guilty because I hadn't bothered, because
so
I didn't
did
really want to do
one.
Yeah,
filling it
yeah.
in.
Yeah, so then last minute, I emailed like the organiser, and they were like, we can squeeze you in just before Christmas. I was like, phew, something productive I've done. It's dead.
I'm so sorry. That's my favourite plug of anything.
Best of all.
I think follow Jack Barry on all social media. We'll be tagging him in this episode when it comes out so you can find him through that. Please give him a follow.
Hopefully I'll book another show.
Although I think Derek Jokes is still doing his.
Yeah, Derek's doing Vault.
Derek's always touring in the wreckage of Vault.
That felt like the last year and a half in comedy just summed into one moment. It was I'm going to do a show. I'm not going to do it. I'm so sorry.
Finding out live that the whole festival has been cancelled.
We truly are sorry. You've been such a lovely guest. I feel like I learned something.
I worry that every podcast I go on now just turns into me telling
drugs.
Everyone that they should do shrooms.
No, because I started it by contacting you being like, hey, can you help me out with this?
Yeah, and also like I'm a risk averse, cautious, anxious but curious person who I think offered counterbalance of fear, anxiety on your behalf, and overbearing responsibility. We've had a lovely time.
And make sure you follow me on Instagram to watch the Insta Live of Helen taking shrooms.
No. Are you really going to do it live?
God, no.
Oh, darn.
Thank you. We want to do a shout out to our amazing supporters we've got so far.
Thank you.
Our incredible exec producers. Holy shit, the top level. Mm. So shout out to Guy Goodman, Simon Moores, and Yanina Bautista.
Plus brand new executive producer, Mary Fox.
And to our incredible producers, Melissa Dunkeld, Kerrig Duke, Sarah and Molly, Aidan McQueen, Caitlin Lith, Joe Holmes, Zoe, Kim Doyle, Lee Myerscough, Rachel. What are you doing?
You were just punching the air every time.
Because I want to celebrate all of them. Lee Myerscough, Rachel R, David Walker, Tim and Dom, Kira Leach, SD Dubs, L, Richard Bold, Sadie Cashmore, Neil Redmond, Claire Owen Jones, Jess and Nick, Victoria Hutchison, Emma Walton, Anthony Conway, Karen and David Bull, Harold Van Dyke.
Wow. Wow. Thank you.
You make the world a better place.
You make our world better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.